Hey guys, this is Danny McDermott from The Danny McDermott Show. If you want to see our show live, it's every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Trust me, you want to see it then. You'll see all the screw-ups. It's great. Our show is an adult show, I must admit, but that's only because we're childish. Most of the guests that we have on the show are my friends, so you can just watch us hang out as buddies. It's fun. Just chill, relax, enjoy.
Everybody close your Facebook too.
Special guests, G. Larry Butler and Eddie Burke.
Woo! Okay, I'm small for some reason, and you're big. That's not right, Kevin.
I took over. I've attempted a coup. I am.
I'm taking over,
America. I've upgraded my green screen, and I will not be stopped.
Okay, all right. So, it's been a big week, everybody. Welcome to the show. We have a new president-elect. Everything's the whole world's different now. Everything's weird. Hopefully everybody's going to come together now and just laugh and have fun and enjoy life. And let's just have fun. My big thing this week was I buzzed my beard. Check it out. Trimmed it. Yeah. Right, ladies? Yeah. I don't know. It's been crazy. So Kevin, you got your green screen. Let's bring Kevin up to the big size now. I'm tempted to keep you small the whole show just for trying to take over. I really am.
You can't hold me down.
Dude, what? I thought you were going to fix your green screen.
I did. No, I got the best green screen in the business.
You just taped something to it. What are you talking about? What is that?
I'm inside a very special and exclusive automotive show in a museum.
You just basically cut out a newspaper clipping of a car.
That's not true.
It is true.
No, it's not. It's a green screen, Danny.
Dude, you really need to learn this technology. You really do.
It's every bit as good as the city behind you. You can get anywhere in that city you need to go with that car.
I have no idea what that means, but yeah, I mean, I get where you're trying to go. Anyway, so how was your week, buddy?
No complaints.
Thanks. Wow, you really added to the conversation. That's awesome.
Seven whole days. I say that every week. It's a theme.
You're supposed to think of things to say so we don't just talk about nothing at the beginning of the show.
Well, I try to take over and you get angry. I figure I give you a little leeway. Now suddenly that's a problem.
Boy, you're getting mouthy.
It's a fun week.
Oh, man. It's been a crazy week. I've had some ups and downs. You know, I posted that I was having a tough time last night, and I had a lot of people reach out, a lot of cool people that I've known for a long time. I did not break YouTube.
No, but you're upset, and YouTube is down too.
I know. What the hell happened to YouTube?
It's just sad. That's all. Give it its time. It needs to work through it.
I gave people the link. I hope people can see it. I hope people can watch us right now. We got 12 people, so I guess something's working.
Oh, that's monstrous. Oh, boy.
It's your fault.
It's like the stock market.
It's your green screen.
No, it isn't.
We got to get you. You don't even have a computer, do you?
No, I don't. Yeah, I do. It's just old.
It's just old? Where is it?
Yes. You have to pedal to start it.
Is it one of those big ones where you put the computer's like sheets in it to get it going? with the dials and the tapes and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, it accepts like large VHS tapes. I'm not sure for what though.
I remember I'm gonna date myself right now, but I remember before computers, number one, and before any personal computers, they showed this big video of these computers will someday change the world, and we're all like, yeah, but they're big, and you know, then they came out with the personal ones, but they had the little monochrome green. Do you remember that?
Yep.
There wasn't even email yet. It's crazy.
No. No, but what?
Go ahead.
What used to take up a whole room, now you can fit on your watch.
Right. It's true. I don't know, man. I've even seen. You ever see the video of those kids trying to use a rotary phone that have never used a rotary phone before?
Yes. Yes, I have. That's fantastic.
It's like you trying to have sex almost.
It's not quite the same. Not quite the same.
All right, so we got two guests tonight. I think this is going to be a really fun show. I'm really excited about this. There was a lot of things happening this week, so I didn't have a ton of time to go over everybody's bio. Oh, you know what's cool? I'm recording my cartoon series again.
Nice. Tell us about it.
Yes. It's called Angelo Rules, and I have no idea where it's playing.
Okay.
But I've been doing it for a few years. I play the bully. His name is Minetti. I'm like, you can run, but you can't hide. So that's the bully. And I'm in all of the episodes, not all of them, most of them. And I'm going to start recording that from home.
Good stuff.
Yeah. It's exciting. All right. So I want to bring in our first guest. What do you say?
Let's do it. I'm excited.
All right. You don't even know who it is, do you?
I'm not sure. I haven't narrowed down.
You have no clue. Look, they just brought him in by mistake.
That's okay.
I got to do the intro first. No, wait. No, get out. Yeah, no, you're not in. Seriously, I got to introduce him. Take him out. Okay. Okay, Kevin, I'm still going to blame you for this. I really am. Okay. So our first guest is an actor, producer, writer, pianist, one of the few actors to work in every phase of the industry on a continuous basis. Although I don't know if that's very true. That's a very broad statement there. Because everybody's doing everything now. But I love this guy. Please welcome G. Larry Butler, ladies and gentlemen. There we go.
Hello.
All right.
What's up, buddy?
Oh my God, you're my idols, both of you. My God, Kevin, I just came off a shoot as a doctor, and I just have to tell you, your testicles have to be removed. You have way too much testosterone, and I'm the man to do it.
What? Kevin, Kevin, I'm so sorry, man. You're gonna need some time off for that.
No, it's a joke. It's a joke. I'm sorry.
You don't have to say that. You just do the joke. Don't even worry about it. That's anyway, what you're about.
Does a week seem fair?
I already gave you a joke once before, but we can't air that.
Well, let me ask you this, Larry. How long have you been a hoarder?
A hoarder?
I'm busting on you because you're where you're sitting right now. You got all the this.
Yeah, I'm in my man cave and I'm surrounded by books. My whole house is surrounded. It's every wall is covered with books because I'm old school. I go back to the 50s and we used to read. So
yeah, I remember that. I remember those days.
I heard about it.
Yeah, I've heard about it. But
he's older than both of us.
As old as I am, for sure. So anyway, I love you guys. It's a great show. Just
thank you.
So you work well together.
And, well, you know, I let him in there once in a while. I let
him. Yeah, your green screen. Fabulous. Never change it. Don't change it.
Cutting edge technology. There, Kevin.
Absolutely. It's cutting edge. The best in the business.
So, right. Larry, let me see. Where did you start? When did you start in the entertainment business?
Oh my God. Probably in elementary school. That's when I got my, you know, my got my inspiration to become an actor, but actually in show business, probably in 85, you probably weren't born yet. I have socks older than you are probably, but anyway, in 1985, I was working in a salvage yard up in Denver, Colorado, and I had a long beard and greasy, grimy gopher gut hands. And somebody said, well, you're so funny, you should get an agent. And I said, well, what the hell is an agent? I was that green. I didn't know. So I went to an agency, JF Images, which was a big time agent at the time. And the woman that was interviewing me actually climbed the chair to try to get away from me. True story.
Really? So
they made me shave my beard. They taught me how to use a knife and fork and to walk without dragging my knuckles and, you know, how to dress properly and the whole thing. And away I went. I started doing commercials and a lot of print. In those days, Denver was the print hub of the world.
Wait, you did print? So you did print modeling?
I have a book this thick. I was like a character model. I did international print, national and regional.
Oh, we definitely should have had some of those print modeling pictures of you.
yeah, I didn't think to do that, but I can show you something I did recently. This is a picture of me in a short film called Downsize, where a middle manager gets the axe figuratively and gives everybody the axe literally. So this is one of the heads. But anyway, I don't have any of my – I have a print – book right behind me, but I don't know if we have time to.
No, that's okay. That's okay. So tell me, how many credits do you have? You have over 200 on IMDb.
200. Yeah, it's 210 or something. But I've got some that are not even on there because I couldn't chase a director down to get them. But I've done a lot in 35 years. I used to hustle, but now I've slowed down. I mean, people know how to contact me, and you know, when they want me, they just call me. And so
what
I don't.
What are some of the biggest celebrities you've worked with?
Oh my God. Richard Chamberlain, Raymond Burr, John Ritter, John Denver. Oh my God. It goes on and on. I used to work with a lot of them. This was back in the 80s. And then I moved to Hollywood from Denver in the 90s. No, 89. I'm sorry. I got here just in time to see the Dodgers win the World Series in December or November of 88. And, but I went on to work with a lot of other people here too. Finished a movie with Courtney Gaines from Children of the Corn, I believe it was.
Okay. But wait, I want to go back to some. You worked with John Ritter.
I did. I did a movie called Prison of Children, Prison for Children. Ethan Hawke and John Ritter, both.
Really?
Ethan Hawke was 15 years old. I played a deputy sheriff.
Really?
To a reform school. It was called Prison for Children.
Now, John Ritter was one of my favorite actors of all time. I love that guy. Three's Company, the physical comedy that man did was epic. I mean, it was just awesome. Yeah. And he was working with a great Don Knotts.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
My favorites, yeah.
Absolutely. Remember him? How you doing there, little lady? You're a pretty hot little number.
Yeah.
I got one bullet in my gun, and it's for you.
It's so funny. I love those. If you can find it on TV, you know, Nickelodeon or whatever, find the Andy Griffith Show. Or
did you get to talk to John Ritter?
I did. Yeah, I sat down and had lunch with him.
Really?
Yeah, he's a great guy.
What did you guys talk about?
Just pretty much about him.
Really?
Yes. With A-listers, you know, it's like you just listen, they talk. So,
yeah. What'd you have for lunch?
I don't know. Beef stroganoff. It was 30 years ago.
That's a pretty expensive lunch.
Yeah.
So you work with John Ritter. Who else?
John Denver.
John Denver. Oh, man. What was he like?
Oh, he's wonderful. I got a picture of him. I lined my wall with, you know, my brag wall, I call it. With his picture, I got to fall into him. I was a clumsy pedestrian.
Really?
On a featured extra.
What movie was that?
Oh, Christmas Story. It was done in Leadville, up in the mountains above Denver in Colorado. Wow. Beautiful. Wow. And it was for a Christmas special. It was a TV movie. But very nice man. But he couldn't talk long because he had to get to the airport. So, you know.
Hope it was that the day he crashed?
No, no. It was a little later
on.
That
was horrible. That was horrible. I heard he didn't. I heard he was flying illegally or something on that last flight.
We suspected it was suicide, some of us, but I don't know.
Really?
Yeah, really? He was depressed over a breakup and a relationship. And nobody knows. So
no, you can't.
Yeah, but
anyway, I think it was Kevin's fault.
Kevin. Listen,
excuse.
He wasn't meeting my needs anymore. I had to break up with him.
There you go.
So, what is your most memorable moment on screen?
Oh, geez. I think probably my first movie. I'll tell you very quickly. My first movie audition was called The Women's Club. Warner Brothers came to town. It was directed by Sandra Roland Weintraub of the Weintraub family in Hollywood. And Fred Weintraub was her father, producer. And so she actually cast it as well. So I went in the room and I started making chit chat with her, just like, are you going to ski while you're up here and stuff? She took a liking to me. So later on, I found out she cast me, but I was terribly underweight because for the Women's Club, it's actually a wonderful story about a script writer who becomes a prostitute out of necessity because he can't sell his scripts. So
sorry, Kevin.
It's Tuesday.
Yeah. Martin Scorsese was her boyfriend at the time, and he edited the movie. And so she came down there, and she cast me because John Candy had bailed on the project for some unknown reason.
Wow, John Candy. Oh, my God. I loved him. Yeah.
And so she asked me, can you gain like 30 pounds in a month? I went,
oh, for an sure. For extra work? No so, way.
Yeah, pizza and beer. It'll work. That's my diet, my special diet. Pizza.
Wait. You did this for extra work?
No, I had a co-starring role, biggest role ever cast in Colorado.
Oh, okay.
And so I worked with Michael Paré, who was pretty hot at the time, Streets of Fire. Eddie and the Cruisers, and then Eddie Velez from A-Team. So the four of us co-starred. Maude Adams from Octopussy. So it was a pretty good movie, and it lasted about a week.
What was the name of the movie?
The Women's Club.
Now, can people find that online?
I believe they can. Okay. So it's been around. I have a couple copies. So
tell me about what you did. Tell me about what you did. Tell me about what you did in a cave.
Oh God, yeah. Well, in the year 2000, I wanted to give poor unknowns a break, and so I decided to host a radio show and bring them on and introduce them, and whether they be authors or actors or musicians or anybody in show business, a creative type, and announce them to the world. And I would have a little pitch, see if I can remember it. Should we bring them, you decide whether we should bring them out into the light of day or should they bask in the underworld forevermore, something like that. So the audience would decide whether they should continue. And I got flooded with all these, you know, albums and stuff. You know, that helped my collection. A lot of people, you know, are desperate.
How did you wind up doing it in a cave?
Well, I did not the audio part of it, not the radio. It was computer radio. It was brand new at 2000. It was worldwide. But another man wanted me to do it actually with video and said, okay. So I put that in my bio just to get your attention. But actually, we did the montage, the opening montage in the cave.
Oh, so you lied, Larry. You lied.
Well, slightly. Exaggerated.
I'm kidding. I'm teasing.
We did part of it in a cave. We did do that. And so then we found this old bunker, a military bunker. And these had huge doors. And so in the start of every show, I'd open up the doors and we'd go in and there'd be a different guest and each, there were several different doors, and they're enormous, you know, like belong to a castle. And so I'd push them open and we'd go in and there'd be another guest, a different stripe, you know, a different walk of life. And so it was pretty popular, but it lasted about a year. And then we both went on to other things, but I did them simultaneously. You know, the radio show and the TV show. So it was a lot of fun. And I got to write, I got to host and, you know, help produce it. So it was a good learning experience.
Okay. Very cool. Very cool. Awesome. So we got a little thing we want to work out with you here. We want to do a little, I'm not allowed to call it.
We're in this wacky world.
Okay, so these are things that have happened somewhere in this wacky world. And these are news stories. And we have got to guess, and people in the chat room, you're allowed to guess as well, where these things happened. Now I'm going to read, let's start with number one. Here we go. Oh, wait, I just realized. I totally forgot. Guys, we have a new member of the family here, our new engineer, Susanna, and we have a little video to welcome her to the show. So can we play that right now? All right, there you go. Nice. Let's hear it for
welcome aboard.
Yeah, we literally had about 20 minutes to rehearse this. We're going to start doing. Hey, Susanna.
Thanks, guys.
No, thank you. You're doing an awesome job for only having like 20
welcome
minutes
aboard.
To set this up. Welcome aboard. So we decided we got to do more rehearsals, but that's in the neither here nor there. The reason I want to bring it up is because the last couple shows, I sound like I'm yelling at these people, and I'm just joking. So I want you all to know, I love Kevin, I love everybody, and this is part of the humor. So let's start out with this the news from all over the world. Okay. This one is called Get on the Bus. Okay. A fellow passenger on a bus stated that she thought this, okay, this is written weird. Okay. Let's basically a guy goes on a bus and he's wearing a snake for a mask. Okay. A snake for a mask. That's why it's bus. Okay. Now, what kind of crazy country would this happen in? Take a guess. Come on. Anywhere in the world. I'm going to guess.
Africa.
I'm going to guess. UK. I think the UK. That sounds like a kind of a UK thing.
Snakes. They allow snakes in England.
They allow snakes everywhere. What are you talking about?
No, Ireland. It's a federal offense.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
What do you think, Kevin?
I'm going to say Germany.
Okay. I don't really. You think they're that? Yeah. You think they're that out there? Why Germany?
Just because of the bus.
The bus. Just,
yeah, I think.
Somebody says Cambodia. I doubt it. Actually, Cambodia might not be a bad.
Australia.
Guess. Australia.
They have both buses and snakes.
That's true. And we did have an Australian guy last week, so that would make sense. That would make sense, whoever wrote this. What do you think, Larry?
I think probably Central America. Honduras.
Honduras. Okay. All right. Let me see here. Actually, it was Manchester, England.
Oh, my God. You're right.
Wow.
Whose computer is doing that? What's happening here? I'm getting dizzy. Okay, a spokesman for the transit authority had no problem with it, but said it was the fact that the man tried to use it as a face mask in lieu of a suitable alternative, like a scarf or a bandana, that forced them to remove him from the bus. Uh-huh. There you go. There you go. The UK is, England is UK, right?
That is correct.
I'm a stupid American.
That bus is on the wrong side of the street.
Right? Okay. And the snake was on the wrong side of the bus. All right. Next one. Egregious.
Egregious.
God, I'm an idiot. I'm showing my... Kevin, you should have read it. Egregious emus. Banned from bar for bad behavior.
Behavior.
Okay. Behavior. So it's obviously Greece. No, what do you guys think it's from? Where do you guys think that is?
Emus. Emu is a large bird, right?
Yeah. Are they emus or emus?
Emus.
I'm going to say emus. I'm going to call it a large flightless bird, and I'm going to go with Tanzania. Final answer.
Tanzania. Wow. Larry, what do you think?
Australia.
Okay. I'm going to guess. Oh, I didn't finish reading this part, though. Two emus were recently permanently banned from a bar after they came in, ran around stealing customers' sandwiches and fries. Dude, that is awesome.
That is great.
That is awesome. Can you imagine that? You sit in a bar and an emu comes up and just starts drinking your beer.
There's really nothing. There's nothing more sociable than grabbing a couple of fries.
You have pelicans do it down here where I live. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to guess the UK again because, I mean, I don't know. Just the UK for me is all the weirdness. All right. Let's see. It's Queensland, Australia. You got it, Larry. You got it.
There you go.
Two emu siblings named Kevin and Carol. Kevin.
I bet you he ate the fries.
That was you in a costume, Kevin.
Mystery solved.
Kevin and Carol were often spotted on the grounds of the Yaraka Hotel in Queensland. They had been raised from chicks by an animal rescuer and had been very popular with the guests who would often feed them and take pictures with them. However, one morning the emus discovered how to climb the outdoor stairs that led to the pub and burst in, flapping madly and ran around the room, stealing food from patrons' plates. So the hotel started posting signs telling customers that the large Australian birds have been banned from this establishment for bad behavior and have asked all human patrons to let yourself in through the emu barrier, a rope barrier that has so far been emu proof.
So they used to take pictures with patrons. Now it's a mugshot.
Right? I just imagine an emu in a bar fight, you know?
It's like, I don't think you could.
Hey, get out. Hey, man, come on. Yeah. Got a little too into that one. All right, let's go to the next one. The next one, real estate off the rails. A subway system suspended three workers without pay after it discovered the men had created a man cave for their personal use during work hours in the underground tunnels. That's got to be New York.
Yeah, got to be.
Larry, what do you think? It could be the UK.
London. Yeah.
You think London?
Yeah. I'm going to say New York, and I'm going to say that the rats had a nicer room 30 feet further down the line.
There you go. All right, let's see. It was New York City. Wow. Three transit authority workers had discovered an unused storage room under track 114 and filled it immediately with a refrigerator, a TV, a microwave, and a futon sofa.
Oh my God.
They used the room for months until an anonymous complaint said the employees would hang out and get drunk and party. What's wrong with that?
I was the sommelier in there for 3 months.
I applaud these guys. I mean, that's awesome. Why would they get mad at that? That's officials say the wiring of the TV and the streaming device created a potential fire hazard for the MTA. But they were probably just jealous.
No question.
Oh, I definitely they were jealous. Wait. The men, yeah, they're jealous. You know what? They were jealous that the men found a way to subvert the city's expensive rental market. That's why they were jealous.
I think the chairman uses it as his office now.
Right? Exactly. All right, we got a couple more here. 37-0. Yeah, that sounds about right. Let's see. A certain country soccer team lost the game 37-0 because they chose to socially distance from their opponents during the match. Can you imagine? They're like, whoa. Hey, dude, don't kick too close to me, man.
That'll be California.
California, that's not a country, though, Larry.
All right, okay, U.S. USA.
I don't know what country is like really crazy about the lockdown. The UK is right now.
Italy.
They got locked down again.
I'm gonna say Greece.
I'm gonna go with Kevin's aunt. You going to the bathroom, Kevin, or something? Greece always makes Kevin have to go to the bathroom. It happens every time. Wow, that was quick, Kevin. Now he's gone again. I'm going to say Kevin's answer earlier. I'm going to say Germany because I think they would be. I'm not going to say. I was going to say a bad joke. I can't do it. They would be. You know what joke I'm going to do? You know exactly what joke I was going to do. All right, let me see. The country. Wait, did you decide on a country, Kevin?
I said Greece.
Oh, Greece. Okay. It is Germany. A team had tried to postpone the game because one of their players had come into contact with an infected player during a match the previous week. However, their league rules stated that they had to either play a match or pay a 200 euro fine so they wouldn't be penalized. 7 players volunteered going up against the other team's normal lineup of 11 players. Wow, this is not fair. 37 goals were scored. God, that's insane. By the opposing team, as the German team did their best to maintain a 12-foot distance and make no big challenges for the ball.
That's hysterical. Oh,
that's so funny. Yeah. Oh, that's my God.
The indifference coach had a great week.
Well, you know what? That would probably make, on the plus side, that would probably make the most exciting soccer game for anybody who hates soccer. Right?
It's accurate.
You can understand it.
Okay, we got one more to go. One more to go.
For all the marbles.
The neighbors, this is for all the marbles. I don't know who's leading. We should really keep track of that next time. All right, the neighbors had a bone to pick.
Oh, God.
Okay. Neighbors complained to their housing authority when a woman decided to get creative with her Halloween decorations and build a scary strip club of skeletons in her front yard. That's got to be the U.S.
Yeah.
I'm going to say New Jersey.
Are you going to say Jersey? That's where most of the strippers come from, I think. Or Florida. Florida. I'm going to say Florida.
Yeah.
What do you think, Larry?
Oh, man. West Hollywood.
It's great that none of us is even considering another country.
No way.
Not a chance. That's New Jersey.
That's definitely the U.S. It's definitely the U.S. Yes, it's the USA. Richmond, Texas.
Oh, wow.
Texas.
Yeah, that's okay. Right. I guess there's a lot of. I've never been to Texas, so I don't know how many strip clubs are. Not that I would know.
They're because still on
there.
The short list.
Okay. Richmond, Texas, discouraged by her neighbor's trick-or-treating restrictions due to the coronavirus, a Texas woman decided to light up the holiday by creating a virtual glowing strip club. Complete with brass poles and stages manned by contorted female dancing skeletons. The housing authority received numerous complaints and immediately sent her a letter demanding that the display be taken down by November 1st. Rationalizing that the compliance date came after Halloween, she decided to leave the skeletal spectacle until after Halloween and for the next 2 weeks proceeded to change the position of the dancers every night, much to the amusement of some of her more open-minded neighbors.
I know who that is. They live in town.
I don't know, but I that sounds like a future wife. That's got to be the coolest chick ever. Her neighbors never complained. All right. Well, Larry, I want to thank you. It's been great having you. We will have you on the show again. Where can people find you?
Well, I walk the streets late at night. Nice. Well, you can find me, just type in my name in Google, and a lot of things come up. G.Larry Butler. So there's a story behind that, too.
What is the story? Tell me the story before you leave. I don't want to just kick you out of here.
First came to Hollywood. I was called Larry Butler in Denver. And when I came to Hollywood, and the Screen Actors Guild told me I couldn't have that name because it was already owned by a producer of Willie Nelson's band, Larry Butler, very famous.
Oh, okay.
Away, I still couldn't have it. So I thought, what am I going to do? My first name's George. So I thought, how about G. Larry Butler? And my agent loved it because it kind of forces people to go, G. Larry Butler.
Now, yeah, but now what do they think the G stands for?
Probably goofy or gruesome, because I do a lot of comedy and horror. I cover both sides of the board.
Oh, because I was thinking Gertrude.
Gertrude, yes. But better know, you know me better than a lot of people, because I, you know.
All right, what about that? What, well, you have social media, Larry?
I do, yeah. What? You can, on Facebook, G. Larry Butler, and it's also on, what's the other one? I'm not too literate with some of these things. My daughter got it for me, but Instagram, is that it? Instagram?
Yeah, yeah.
And then Twitter, I think same thing.
G. Larry Butler for all of them. Is there a period or is there no period?
It could be under G.E.E. Larry Butler. But yeah, it, all of it. So.
All right. Well, we'll put it in the comments for folks who don't know. But yeah, G. Larry Butler on Facebook is the easiest way to get a hold of Larry. Larry, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Please come back.
Oh, thank you very much. I'd love to. Yeah, you guys are great.
Good You're time, great. Larry.
You're great, awesome. Larry. We'll have more time for you next time. All right, buddy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
What a good guy. I thought he was the guy from Watergate.
You thought he was Nixon?
He was a lot of fun. He was a lot of fun.
He's great. He's great. His resume is so huge that it's hard to even figure out what to talk about. You know what I mean?
There were certainly a lot of interesting stories and interesting names that would have definitely been interesting.
Yeah, yeah. He's got a lot of stuff. You know what we should do with our guests next time is have the main stories that they – why am I talking about this now? This is technical stuff I should be talking with Susanna about.
That's okay.
I blurt, folks. I blurt. I blurt. Well, this is a relaxed show, right? This is a relaxed show.
It's live.
I mean, you have sex with your green screen. So, I mean, just don't do it on the show.
I can't make any promises.
Oh, please promise. All right. So I'm really excited. Really, 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 really excited to get to our next guest. Normally we do a lot of other stuff in between, but I am just dying to get this guy on here. He's been a good friend of mine since I moved to LA. I met him because he was bartending at the Improv. This guy is a legend. This guy is absolutely a legend. I want to get the intro right here, but one of the greatest times I had at the Improv was when they did a celebration for him, because he has been at the Improv, I want to say 40 plus years. I may be wrong. I may be screwing that up, but definitely 30 plus years. The man knows everybody. That was just tuning in. I had this ready. I swear to God, Kevin, I had it. And it's gone. Of course it's gone. All right. I know he was that. He was on Punching the Clown, with a mutual friend of ours. I'll let him explain that. He's a great actor. He's going to tell us lots of cool stories. Please welcome Eddie Burke.
All right, let's get him out of here.
McDermott and Kevin, how are you guys?
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. I'm hanging in there through this whole crazy time. How are you guys doing?
We're surviving. We're surviving, trying to find time to drink.
Yeah, believe me, I've found plenty of time to drink. There's been nothing but time to do that. That's about all we've had time to do, is stuck in these little houses, rooms, or whatever. But hey, we're all in this together.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, we are. And you always make, you know, one of the reasons everybody loves you is because you've always, always, always been a sweet guy, and you've always really listened to the comedians, and you've always been a friend to us. And you're one of those people I'm just grateful.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And it is 40 plus years, by the way.
It is. I thought so. 40 plus years. That big celebration, Bud was there. Bud Friedman.
Yep. People I hadn't seen in, 30, 35 years, certain people, you know, and I was flattered, actually flew in. One woman flew in from Florida. Another was going to come in from Boston, but unfortunately she got hurt, but she's fine. But it was an unbelievable night. I was so flattered. It was just crazy. I can barely remember getting there and telling my wife, once we get there, you're on your own. I'm going to be sucked up here. And I was, and it was great. And we had a good time. And you know, thanks to the improv and those guys for doing that. Ali Reza, Caesar, all those guys, you know, they really went out of their way. There was absolutely no reason, no call to do that. And,
oh, yes, there was. Yes, there was.
Well, but they went out of their way to do it. No, but I had never even, contemplated anything like that until maybe I died or something like that. but yeah, it was great. It was a lot of fun. Everybody, Kevin Nealon.
Yeah, there were celebrities galore there. Kevin Nealon, who else?
Kevin Nealon, Jay Moore, Adam Ferrara. God, I can't even remember at this point, but who was it? I can't right now. I'm blanking on all that, but everybody, there was so many people that were customers back in the day. There was actually almost every bartender that ever worked there showed up.
Yep. Yep.
And it was, it was flattering, and it was a lot of fun, a lot of memories. And hopefully there'll be more memories as soon as we get this thing over with and we get back in there.
Yeah. So you're not bartending now. What are you doing now?
Well, I've used this entire time to recover from back surgery.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I had a couple of back surgeries, but it'll be fine. And that's really all I've done other than, walk and that's it. It's been great. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. There's been nothing to do for me other than recover from surgery, and I'm fine. It's kind of a new surgery called, Vertiflex or Veriflex.
Okay. All right.
They put a spacer in between your vertebrae.
Oh, wow.
So it's been a lot of fun, but it's, the first week or two or the first month of this pandemic, it was great. You clean, you do this, you do that. And then you go, damn, I've had enough of this. Are we going back to work yet? And right. Then it just spreads. And here we are.
Well, I want to go back to that, to your celebration for a second, because sure. I want to explain to everybody what a great guy you are. Everybody, all these celebrities were there. All these famous celebrity comics were there. It was, everybody wanted to be there. Every single comic that I knew wanted to be there because Eddie is the greatest. I think it was mostly invite only, right?
Well, it started out that way, and then I think people just showed up. So it was invite only for the most part. they had a hard time. I wasn't that much involved in the list, but
well, you got me in. You got me in.
Yeah, but they had.
This is how great you are. It was like the night of the. It was the night of the party.
It was a mistake, Danny. It was a mistake, Kevin.
I for some reason I knew about it, but I forgot about it until the day of, and everybody was talking about it, and so I just messaged you. I can't believe, out of all the people that were probably messaging you like a maniac, you actually responded to my message. Why and not only that,
you're
you got
Danny
me
McDermott. Are you kidding me? Come on. It was a trip. There were a lot of people that just showed up that, you know, unfortunately, we overlooked so many people. It was so hard to remember 40 years of names and 40 years for them even to come up with every comic that's ever been there. I know a number of people were annoyed that they didn't get invited, but it had nothing to do with anything other than an oversight, you know?
Yeah.
Were just so many people, and they kept expanding and expanding. But everybody there had a great time. It was a lot of fun. You know, it was kind of as it turned out, it's kind of a culmination of most of my career there, because that was in February. And 3 or 4 weeks later, here we sit.
Yep. I'm so glad we got it in, because, I mean, that was an epic night. There were legendary comics that I knew when I was a kid, and I was just like saying, that's the first time I ever met Bud.
You know? Is that right? Yeah. Now, Bud's one of the greatest people that you'll ever meet. You know, the fact that he came, I was really flattered.
For you youngins out there, Bud Friedman was he's the founder, and he's also the first comedy club to put stand-up comedy show evening at the Improv.
That's right.
Yeah,
he started the Improv in New York, I believe, in 1963. Came out to LA, I think, in 73, something like that. And you know, all the rest is history.
And that's where they did the show, right, at the Hollywood.
That's where they did what?
The show at the Hollywood Improv, right? Evening at the Improv.
They started it at the Hollywood Improv. Then they opened a Santa Monica Club, and when they opened the Santa Monica Club, it was like twice as big. So they had the remaining, I think, the last couple of seasons down there.
How many seasons was it?
I'm not sure. I think there were like six or seven of them. There were quite a bit.
And then everybody else started doing it.
Every comic in the world did that show. And like you said, I think it was one of the first TV shows of with just stand-up based on a club. And on my podcast, which is Eddie's Bar at the Improv podcast, I've had a lot of those guys on. And, you know, you ask them, did you do Evening at the Improv? And they go, oh, yeah, I did it like five or six times. I mean, you know, you had Doc Severinsen host it.
All right.
John Carson's band leader. Gosh, I mean, and Johnny Carson was there that night, too.
Wow.
You know, and there's a little story around that later on, but they had everybody eventually wanted to be on it, and just about everybody was. I think that's where Howie Mandel might have gotten one of his first American jobs. I remember him standing in the hall with some glove on his head.
Oh, I remember that.
Fingers.
Yes.
Fingers.
He used to blow it up. He'd pull it down over his nose. Howie Mandel, guys, from what's he on America's Got Talent?
Yeah, one of those shows. Yeah. I don't know.
He would take a surgical glove, and he'd pull it down over his head, and he'd breathe into it until it popped. It was crazy.
Oh, you had him, Paul Rodriguez.
Rodriguez.
some of the people that were
Robin Williams.
Robin Williams. I think Robin did it. I can't swear to that, but if he didn't, it was only because he was too damn busy.
Yeah.
You know, with everything that he did, Robin, and you had guys like Rick Overton.
I love Rick.
People that, you know, whose names may not be total household names, but were just as funny as anybody else. And, you know, the list goes on. I just wish I would have written it all down. But they have everybody in their money. Had you been there, Danny, that would have been Danny McDermott time.
Being
at the Improv.
That would have been great. That would have been great.
You just came out here a little too late.
I did. I came out too late. I would have. Yeah. You don't really have those breaks anymore.
No.
The what?
Thank you, Angela. Yeah. There's no really comics. There's so many comics on television now. There's no big break anymore. It used to be you get on Carson, then you made it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Carson or Letterman or any of those. Now there's so many little shows. And not only that, there's video shows.
Everything. You've got everything online. You've got everything, you know, on YouTube or whatever. Everybody posts their stuff. It's a different world. It's totally different. And I don't know. I'm sure I'm not the only one who thinks this. But I think when all this garbage is over, comedy is going to be the first thing to come back strong.
Oh, yeah.
People are going to need to laugh, and they're dying to get out, you know?
Yeah. Well, comedy and sex. I think those are the two things. They're going to come back strong.
Sex has just gone underground.
I don't think sex ever left.
Oh, it's pretty much gone for a lot of people, like me right now.
Well, I'll bet this thing has led to a lot of divorces.
Oh, yeah.
You try being together with somebody 24/7. That ain't so easy.
I was in the parking lot at a Whole Foods type of place, and this guy and his wife, they were just arguing with each other. He goes, "Well, you don't listen to me. Well, you don't know. I haven't been with you this long, this much." Blah blah blah. it was hilarious. It was. I'm sitting there laughing.
Well, that's true. Really, at any time, I'll tell you a funny story. Is when I got married, my wife is a physical therapist. She worked during the day, and I worked at night. So our time together was maybe the weekends and, you know, like an hour here and there. When we got married and we went on our honeymoon to Hawaii, we only made it for like 3 or 4 days because we were afraid we weren't going to be able to take each other together 24/7. We had no idea what was going to transpire. But as it turned out, 38 years later, we're still here.
Who couldn't love you, man? Come on.
So, in the 38 years, grand total time together, are we up to a year?
We might be. That might be pushing it, Kevin. A year might be pushing it, but it's if you ask her, she'll tell you it's too much time. You know, when I first started working at the Improv, you know whose job I took?
No.
Kevin Nealon.
Really?
Kevin Nealon was the bartender there. And
wow.
I was brought in to work, I don't know, like fill in, work service, what have you. And after about a year or a year or two of being there, Kevin quit. And so I took over his shifts. But Kevin was there, and Kevin had just started to kind of make a name for himself, getting up on stage at the Improv and other places. And he kind of figured, I can't keep letting Bud bring me up as now here's my bartender.
Yeah, right.
So, and then I think 2 or 3 years later, in the, 80s or whatever, he got SNL and went on from there. You know,
that was huge.
Yeah, all those guys. He's and actually he was my first guest on my podcast. And I did that purposely because by taking his job, I figured, you know, why not have him on as my lead guest when that all goes on?
But that's awesome.
Yeah, all those guys, you know, I've been fortunate enough to be allowed into the world of comedy because I am by no means a comedian.
Sounds like you're the one who had the steady work.
Well, he
had to jump from gig to gig. You, one gig. That's it.
That's right. Well, that's true. That's it. I learned. You stay away. You jab here and you jab there and you keep walking.
Well, yeah. I was really, everybody always talked about you. When I first moved to LA, everybody's like, Eddie's the man. Eddie's a good man. And you were just so nice to me. I mean, I didn't
know you yet, Danny.
But I'd be working on projects and I tell Eddie about my projects. And the improv actually has been really good to me. I love the improv. The whole staff there has been really good to me. And I premiered my series, Who Killed the Bible Salesman, there.
I remember. And they try to be very supportive of everybody.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, Rita.
Yeah, I love Rita. I love Rita.
Paige and all those guys. Everybody tries real hard to nurture and move people along. You just don't know what works and what doesn't work.
Yeah.
It's a shot in the dark. You know, yeah. why does this one make it and that one not? Absolutely no reason.
You're right. There's no reason. Some of them make it and they've only been doing comedy a couple months. And yeah. some people have been doing it for 30 years and, you know, that's still right. Struggling.
It's the luck of the draw. It's just, you know, there are so many funny people that you never heard of, that never made it for whatever reason, that you personally may think is so much funnier than the top comic out there now. But again, it's the luck of the draw for whatever reason.
Sometimes there's a reason.
Well, yeah, once in a while there is. I'll have to go with that. But it's most of the time, guys, you know, you can't be bitter because there's no, you know, you don't know why.
Nobody likes it. Nobody likes the bitterness.
No. And Kevin?
It's a gift. It's an absolute gift. So I don't see how you can get bitter in receiving a gift, and it is.
Well, you know what I think people get bitter about is that it's not me, you know,
yeah. It's
someone, and which is not a healthy attitude.
Yeah.
I've seen that. It's, you know, there's so much room at the top, and comedy and every other art is a gift.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you have the passion for it, you'll at least get yourself to a certain level. If you're just there to, like, you know, see how much money you can make, you probably aren't going to get anywhere.
Right.
You know, somebody might, but there's a passion. You need a passion to whatever. Yep. I don't care if you're a garbage man, sanitation worker, you know, work for the transit authority in New York. if you have a passion, as those three guys obviously did,
yeah,
they had a passion to find a little place, their own little man cave. I like that. That is, because I'm from New York.
Right? And, isn't that great? I thought that was amazing.
That's what New Yorkers do, you know?
I would have ran comedy rooms down there. I would have started, you know me, I had so many comedy rooms running, dude. That's how I got my stage time.
That's right. You got to do what you got to do. But, you know, New York subway system has a lot of dead stations that aren't used anymore.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you can see them when you, you know, go past them. And who knows what else is going on down there. You know, there's probably nightclubs and...
Well, that's where Kevin is right now. That's where Kevin is right now.
Is that, actually...
that green curtain behind you?
Yeah, looking to make a park under City Hall, I believe. Don't hold me to the location, but they
I
are.
I want to see that. What's hanging behind you there?
That's a car.
It is.
He claims it's his, that he's doing that with green screen. But he just doesn't know how to use the green screen, and he just taped a picture on it.
No. So I got a car behind me. Danny has a city. It's the same thing.
It looks like a green sheet to me. It's like, but I'm interested in that car. What is the car? And why that picture?
It was the first one I saw that was like a futuristic car. And I wanted my green screen to be from the future.
In other words, he had 10 minutes before the show to find a picture.
how's your boy?
Oh, my God, dude, he's 6'1".
Are you kidding me?
No. Nope. Wow. Yep, he's 6'1" now. He's 15. 15.
Wow.
Yeah.
And he comes out to visit you quite a bit, doesn't he?
Yeah, well, I'm actually in New York now. I drove across the country to be near my family during the coronavirus. So.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's a good move. It's a good idea.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
So that's where you are right now in New York?
Yes, I'm upstate New York right now.
Ah. And
I actually wanted to share with you. We have a new technology on our show right now, and Kevin's seen it. It's a new technology where we can take video of animals, and this technology reads their minds. And it actually tells you what they're thinking in their heads.
Don't go in my head, Kevin. Don't go in my head.
And it's only available on our show. This technology is only available on our show. Let's show Eddie this technology. What do you say? Let's do the intro.
I love it. Do it.
Animal mind reading technology.
Okay, so we're going to do this video of this rhinoceros, and I'm not going to even explain it more than that. Let's see what the rhinoceros, I've been dying to do this because I want to hear what the rhinoceros is thinking. So let's do this. Wait, I'm not supposed to be on the screen right now.
Is that what the rhinoceros is saying? Well, what's he think? You want us to come up with something?
No, we're technology.
This is real stuff here. This is real stuff. So,
I'll tell you what he's thinking. Is
here we go. Let's start that video over again and run the technology.
Get these damn cars out of my way.
Here we go. All right. I'm gonna run over a car. I am gonna run over this car. I'm going to run over him. Come on. Stop backing up. Why is he backing up? I got to take a dump. Come on. What are you doing? No. Damn it. I missed him.
Oh, it would have been nice if he turned around and started chasing that car.
Here I come. That's a red car. Red. It's like a bull. A bull likes to hit red things. I'll hit him. I'll knock him over. Come on, you jerk. You wuss. You guys are wussies. Come on. Aha, a blue one. I want the blue one. Give me the blue one. Oh, the red one. No, the blue one. I can't decide. Oh, my God. Please, somebody let me hit you.
No, where's my girlfriend?
All right, let me have sex with you. Just sex. That's all I want. Sex with a car. That's all I want. All right, well, that was a great segment, guys.
it actually is a great idea. It really is. I like that idea.
Eddie, it's real. It's real, Eddie.
I understand. I totally understand. You got to remember, I'm technically challenged. You know, I'm lucky to be able to get on here. It's, you know.
Well, you and Kevin are in the same boat then, because Kevin can't operate a green screen.
Yeah, but if a rhino shows up on my ways, I am not going to continue.
somebody has to keep him honest there, Kevin.
Hey, can we talk about Punching the Clown?
Sure.
I love that movie.
Punching the Clown, that's Henry Phillips.
Henry Phillips, great guy, incredible comic, musician, songwriter.
And I'll great tell guy. You. That movie, you know, he did Punching the Clown, and what was the other one? It's Punching the Clown 2, but it was sort of a different little name. And what makes those movies is Henry Phillips, in my opinion.
Yep.
Henry is so natural and easygoing. Why nobody has made like an HBO series out of this thing with him is beyond me, because he is so like when I've watched the movie, it's like I didn't even care that I was in it. It was enjoyable watching Henry, because he had a lot. All of the cast were comics and friends and what have you.
Yeah.
And everybody did a great job. I think did he have Sarah Silverman?
Sarah was in it.
And a bunch of people in the second one, he had Mike Judge. And Eddie Burke too.
There you go.
And in, not that he would typecast me, but in both I played bartenders. And it was just, you know, to me he made it. It's a story of him trying to become a comedian.
Yep.
And getting beat up along the way, not physically, but right. it's so funny, and it should have made Henry into a star. But that's not over yet.
He's going to get there. I'm thoroughly convinced that Henry's going to get there. Henry deserves it too, because he didn't know me when we moved to LA, but we became friendly, and he got on to, I was doing podcasts and he got onto my podcast for me and everything. And he's just a genuine guy. He introduced me to Mike Judge. Uh-huh. And did you know he's a physicist?
Mike Judge?
Yes.
No, actually I didn't. I know he's got his hand in a lot of things, but
I was sitting there with him. Now guys, people who don't know this, Mike Judge created Beavis and Butthead, Office Space, and King of the Hill, among many, many other things.
And what's the show that just ended now? The Silicon Valley.
Oh yeah.
Silicon Valley.
Yep. And he
also,
I sat because Henry introduced me to him, and I sat with him a couple different times for 20 minutes just talking. And I got my engineering degree. So when he told me he was a physicist, I was like, oh my God, that's incredible. And so we were talking about things outside of the, amazing.
It's funny when you talk to people in any art area, you find out that they have other skills, what have you. Not everybody, I'm sure there are some that are just comedians, singers, actors, whatever. But so many people have had other jobs to support themselves, or just, they had a passion for something else for a while.
Yep. My family, when I left engineering, oh my God.
Oh, I'll bet. Yeah.
Oh my God. One of my father's friends told me this story where they're on the golf course. And they've been golfing all day. And at the last hole, they're on the green. And my father's about to make this putt. And right before he swings the putter, he goes, I can't believe you left engineering.
That is so funny. But, that's apparent. That really is. You could be the most successful comedian in the world, and somewhere along the line he's going to go, I can't believe you left engineering. That's it. It's apparent. You see it all.
I don't think he'd ever be satisfied anyway. I just told him, I said, what was it, 2 years ago, I'm doing sales for this company, and I go, Dad, I just became, they announced it at the holiday party. I've made more money this year than anybody in the 10 year history of the company. He goes, so can you get a better job?
You mean he didn't say, I can't believe you left engineering?
Yeah, right.
That might've been the better job he was referring to.
Yeah.
That's probably what it was.
You talk about Henry. It just popped in my head, but I remember when Henry first came to LA.
Oh, really?
Yes. I can't remember the year. I know it was in the 80s somewhere. And I remember he came to LA with, I think, a girlfriend. And Henry, if I got this wrong, I'm sorry. But
I don't think Henry's watching this show.
You never know. Word spreads. Anyway, he used to, you know, started coming in and hanging out back in the day. And then all of a sudden he was hanging out alone, you know, but at the same time, you know, when you're in this field, it's a little bit hard to have a relationship.
Because
you're out all night, you're drinking all night, and because that's the way of life.
Yeah.
You know, win, lose, or draw. When you get a little older, if you're a little established, you go, okay, I did my set, I'm going home. I got stuff at home. But when you're younger and, you know, on your way up, you know, you got to do that schmoozing.
You really
do. Schmoozing, you're losing. So it's,
It was one of the reasons that I had problems in my relationship, you know, and we're still friends to this day, but I don't blame her. I don't know how you put up with someone like me going out every night and doing these shows and stuff like that. But it's a tough thing, you know, and I was running.
How many comics do you know? Or, you know, I'm only saying comics because that's what we're talking about, but that have been divorced.
Yeah. Or,
all of us. Yeah. Every one of us. Yeah. Every single one of us.
But since we talked about that, I have to tell you my theory about marriage.
Okay.
Marriage should be like a 7-year contract. And at the end of that 7 years, and you can change that to 5 years, whatever, you both decide if you want to go on.
That's a great idea.
No bitter divorce, no nothing. You have to re-up, you have to re-sign that contract for another X amount of years.
I love that.
It's tough to be with someone for 30, ask my wife. She'll tell you. She's
annual renewal.
I mean, I've only done 6 or 7 episodes of the show with Kevin, and I'm ready to kick him out.
it's hard. It's hard to be with somebody a lot. All of a sudden, you're like a... Jesus Christ, did she take a shower?
Or out of nowhere. What's the...
Yeah, at least you're not in the same room.
Right. Well, now what are some of the I'm sure you have a plethora of amazing stories about famous people. Do you have a couple you could tell us about?
Sure. Well, let's see. Who's his name? Well, I started to tell you about Johnny Carson that night.
Okay, yeah.
There's probably only 2 or 3 people that I've met in the 40 years that I'm enamored with. And that's because I'm around everybody all the time. That's got nothing to do with their worth or what have you. That's just me.
Right.
And that particular night, after the show, Carson and his producer, one of his producers, were at the bar and they picked up these 2 blonde girls. And I don't know if you know who Bruce Smirnoff is. He's a comedian. He's now living in, I think, Florida or something like that.
Yes.
He drove them home. And it was probably one of the reasons why Carson got divorced from one of his wives.
Way
back in that day.
Wow.
And all those guys. And, you know, even like Bruce Willis. Bruce used to hang out at the club every single... That's my daughter's dogs saying, what are you doing? Bruce used to hang out at the club every night when he came here for moonlighting. Him and John Goodman.
Oh, really?
Yep. Every single night they would sing to that jukebox. And I believe they started karaoke in their own
room. Really?
Hi, Susanna.
Hi, Susanna.
I do. And
hi. I didn't know if you wanted to ask some questionable questions.
Yes, we are going to do that in just a second. I wanted to hear a couple of these celebrity stories.
Yeah. Well,
we're going to go a little over tonight. I want to go over because we have Eddie on the show tonight. Eddie's amazing. Go ahead.
Anyway, he and John would be there almost every night because I think John was, I don't know what he, but John always was working. I don't know if he was doing Roseanne then or what, but he would have the whole bar going with him every single night. And this was the 80s when it was really the heyday of the club, yeah. You know, he was one of the big guys there. Because of Moonlighting and Michael J. Fox. Gosh, there's not a person you can name. I can remember watching, seeing, coming in for benefits, Schwarzenegger. I want to say Barbara Streisand.
Wow.
George Clooney. Funny story, too, is that George and I studied together in a class for about 2 years.
In what class?
It was an acting class at the Beverly Hills Playhouse.
Wow.
One of the sweetest people you could ever meet. Nicest guys. I mean, I haven't seen him in 30 years, but he's like, you know, back then and from what you hear, he's still one of the sweetest people that you could ever meet.
He does a lot of practical jokes. I heard a story where he did a practical joke. He went to his buddy's house and he took a dump in the cat litter box and then covered it up. So that when the guy went to clean the box, he's like, what the hell did the cat eat that he pooped, that he crapped that big?
Well, it's along those lines. He was doing ER. I had gotten a day job on, I forget the show, that was right next to that studio. And as I was leaving, when I was finished, you know, I was leaving and I saw him and I went, yo, George. And I, you know, at first he didn't recognize me. He just thought I was somebody, you know, one and I saying, hey. When I got closer, he recognized me and we talked for a few minutes. And he said, I got to go because I got to go TP somebody's car. It was like, you know, that's him. He's a practical joker, but a sweetheart.
That's awesome.
A really good guy. There's, again, you name the celebrities, even athletes. Wilt Chamberlain used to sit at that bar, you know, a number of nights a week, constantly.
It's not quite the same anymore. There are not as many celebrities come in. I mean, they do come in, but it's not as frequent as the 80s.
Because it's changed. There's no longer, and this has nothing to do with the improv itself, the business and the climate has changed in the sense that everybody, there are so many other places to go to. You can also see every comic on TV. But if you still want to hang around and schmooze, it's still the improv that you really have to be. Because the other clubs don't have that kind of an area that we do.
No, but in fact, some of them, I'm not going to mention who because I don't want anybody mad at me. But some of the clubs, they won't even allow comics in unless you're on the show.
Yeah, that's the Laugh Factory, right?
I didn't say.
That's what I've heard. Yeah, I mean,
the Laugh Factory let me in. Jamie knows me, and I wasn't on a lot of the shows. I've only been on a few of the shows.
Well, you just hurt yourself. You said they don't let comics in.
No, I didn't say that. I just said I'm not going to say what clubs.
No, it's look. I don't know anything about the Laugh Factory. I don't know anything about.
No, but Jamie. I mean, I'm talking about clubs in New York too, and I'm talking about there's certain
that
clubs.
Is that because of their size? Are they very small rooms?
Yeah, maybe one of them. Maybe that's why. But still, they have the.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's wrong. It's they're probably thinking about money. Comics aren't going to come in and spend money.
Yeah,
but yet comics are the reason everybody else is there.
Yeah,
and to see a comic or, you know, maybe rub elbows with a celebrity or what have you.
Well, to be honest with you, I loved when you guys. I mean, I loved the original bar when I moved there. That was a great place to hang out. But then when you guys opened that, the back room, and the had, the lab, we, at first, none of the comics liked it. But then after, you know, hanging out there for a period of time, we're like, there's room here. We don't have to be like this, you know, and we can actually talk to people there and really schmooze. And it was nice. And then you guys moved it back to the smaller bar. And it took, it was just a transition.
I don't know what you're talking. You're talking in reverse here, because the lab is the smaller bar.
No. What I'm saying is it, before it was the lab. Right. Remember?
Before it was the lab. There was the main bar and the main room. And then we got stuck back into the lab when they opened some stupid
restaurant. They opened the restaurant.
Right. And when that shut down, we moved back into the other bar. The lab was very, now this is my opinion, the lab sucked, period. It was like a hotel bar.
Yeah.
And that, you know, and.
Well, nobody, that's what I'm saying. Nobody liked it at first.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. And some people did, you know, grow into it and they did eventually enjoy it. But that's my own biased opinion.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't have the it didn't have the class of the
It didn't have the character. There was no character to it. And
but now you got the upstairs in the old bar area too for the comedians, right?
Yes.
And you got the upstairs bar. I love it.
They really didn't get much of a chance to get that into gear because of the pandemic. But when they go back, and eventually they'll go back, you know, maybe another year or what have you, but when they do go back, they'll get that little thing going. And, you know, because I'm thinking of moving my podcast up there and just doing my podcast out of there.
Oh, you know what? Tell people about your podcast, because I want them to know. I want them to follow your podcast.
Well, the podcast is called Eddie's Bar at the Improv Podcast. And I interview all the comedians, you know, one at a time, obviously. That have been there over the years about their experiences in comedy and their experiences coming through the improv. And right now we're on hiatus. We're not doing any more until we go back. But
you don't want to do the Zoom or this, something like that?
No, I did Zoom for 2 months.
Okay.
And, it just wasn't the same. So we're, you know, it's like, there was something about me and the bar that's more intimate than me just talking to you over Zoom. It's different because the bar is my life and the comedians are the people that have been there. So there was a lot more, I think, intimacy or whatever. And Zoom just, you know, Zoom is great. I think it's wonderful. This type of setup is, you know, it's phenomenal. It's gonna open up a whole new world of stuff when everything goes back too. But the second to last guest is John Biner. Do you remember John?
Oh my God, Bizarre.
Yes.
That was his show. I loved his show. He was the modern day Benny Hill.
Yeah, that's very true. And he had been on every show. He had, you know, he was and as an actor, he was on tons of shows. He just wrote his own sort of semi-autobiography called, I think it's 5 Minutes, Mr. Biner, something like that. And it's a really good book. People should look into it. But, and that, you know, that's what my podcast is about. Having people like that on, telling their stories about the improv, and it actually goes. I've had Adam Devine on, Jay Moore, Donnell Rawlings, Alonzo Bowden, Kevin.
All Neal. Great guys. All great guys.
Yeah, everybody. I've had Cristela Alonzo, Jill Michelle Melian, and even people. Larry Miller and Larry Miller's wife, Eileen Kahn, who is a very, very big executive producer at Disney, who used to work at the Improv.
Oh, wow.
And so she had her stories I had a couple of shows with, former employees, you know, that I call it ladies of the 80s. And just, you know, I had three or four women that worked there in the 80s. And anyway, it's sort of not just the history of the improv as much as kind of what everybody's gone through.
Yeah.
In comedy and through the improv and in their lives. And you find out so many things about people, just like I told you before about finding out that Mike Judge was a physicist.
Yeah.
You know, you find out all these things. I had Rick Overton and and Wayne Fetterman. Their parents were musicians and stuff like this. And I mean, it's crazy, but the show is a lot of fun. And it's not a comedy show. It's about comedy. So
it's about the real true stories.
Yeah.
Of how they get through. Yeah.
Yeah. And I even had a character actor, very, very popular character actor named Mario Ricuzzo, who used to hang out there in the 80s and used to be a very good friend with Robert Blake.
Told
a few stories, but you know, it's and I enjoyed doing it. I hope we get back to it. I hope you know this.
Well, we're going to tell everybody about it for sure.
Definitely
from our yeah. Well, we wanted to, now, Susanna, we want to do that one thing that we were going to do, the questionable questions. I think we're gonna do questionable questions with you before you go, Eddie. Hopefully we're gonna do it. Where can people find you, by the way? Just while we're waiting. Oh, well, let's do it. Let's just do it. We'll tell you. We'll ask at the end.
Okay.
Let's do questionable questions.
Okay, let's do questionable whatever it is. What is it? Here's a questionable question. What is this?
Hold on. We're going to show you right now. Hold on.
Have you ever rescued a friend from an alcohol-based situation?
Wait. Hold on. All right. So we've got some questionable questions for you.
Okay, go for it. I can't promise to answer them all truthfully, but go for it.
Well, we'll start with the first one that Kevin brought up.
Okay. And the answer to that is yes. I did. And it was a comedian who is, he's been on my podcast and he has, you know, talked about this, but I don't feel comfortable mentioning his name.
No,
but,
you don't.
I had to call his girlfriend to come get him one night. And
what was he doing? You gotta give us more of a story than that.
He was just super drunk. He was super drunk, you know. I can go on. You know, there's another guy who I didn't rescue, but who I stopped, named Sam Kinison.
Oh, wow.
Used to take his keys, I'd say, you know, like if he came in once or twice a week, at least 50% of the times we'd hide his keys until the valet lost them. You know, somebody will drive you home. But
let's
go on to the next one.
All right, let's see the next question. Next question. Have you ever had an embarrassing nickname?
No, nobody would have the guts to do that to me. I mean, I'm like, you know, I'm a little guy and I'm quiet and I'm nice, but you want to stay on my good side. No, I really don't think I have.
I had one in college. I had one in college.
What was it?
Well, you see, I didn't know anything. I was so naive and young. And I went down my first night in the dorm. I went down to Animal House, which was, you know, I got invited to the party. And it was the original Animal House, Delta House. And I came back so drunk, I couldn't get my key in the door. And I'm trying to get my key in the door, and this little Italian guy comes up to me, and he's real short, star soccer player, but he's a real short little guy. And he goes, "Hey, man, are you hammered?" Like that. And I go, "No, I'm Danny. Nice to meet you." From then on, I was known as Hammered, Dan Hammered. Everybody thought it was my last name.
What about you, Kevin?
My last name is Fitzgerald. Fitz is the nickname every single place I've ever been since I was in like first grade.
Yeah, it's not an embarrassing one. No,
it's just built in.
Well, yeah. You could make it embarrassing. So, yeah. Kevin, did Kevin Fitz?
You know,
you go up to a girl, did he fit?
I have a more often than not heard people call across the bar, "Hey, asshole." But whatever, you know, that's just in.
All right. Next question. What's the weirdest bet you ever made with someone?
The weirdest bet? Oh, man. I'm not much into that stuff. I don't have anything for you there.
My friends once bet me to pick up this girl in the bar, and I took her home, and it turned out she was the daughter of the guy who invented the Patriot missile.
Oh my God. that's interesting.
I was like, so do I compare?
Well, was there a launch?
I wouldn't go too far with that, Danny. And you, Kevin?
It's okay. He's not listening to my show.
You never know.
You ever make a bet, Kevin?
I've made bets where it's like half a bribe. Like, I'll bet you, you know, X number of dollars that you'll enjoy this. And if you don't, you don't have to pay me. Yeah.
That's a little less boring than me.
So you're a hooker.
Depends on the day.
I mean, when it comes to that, I am just totally boring. You know, you make a bet. Bet what? That you can take that girl home? Oh, man. Yeah. I could care less if you take that girl home.
All right. Next question. Have you ever run from the police?
Yes.
Oh,
on several occasions.
Really?
One, when I was a kid, I was, I don't know, 16, 17, something like that. And they were building the New York Coliseum. It's not there anymore. At the end of Central, where Central Park West meets Central Park South.
Okay.
There used to be close by a Coliseum, and my two friends and I were swinging on ropes from the scaffolds of whatever they were building.
Oh, wow.
And when we were done with that, there was a freight yard behind the building, and we were just running on top of the cars, in and out. I don't know. You know, we weren't taking anything. But all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this cop comes with a gun and yell. We hear over the loudspeaker, "That's them, Joe. Get them." we're looking at each other like, okay. So we take off and we start running. And two of us are in front. Oh, no. Yeah, two of us are in front, and this other guy is behind us. So the other guy stops, and the cop gets him. And, you know, we had to stop.
Once one of the guys caught, then you're all screwed.
Yeah, so, like, you know, we they took us into some little railroad yard police station where we convinced them to let us go, and we weren't doing anything at all. But that's the main one you need to know about.
I was running to an audition, and the subways weren't working right in New York City. And I was real young. I stupidly jumped down, ran across the tracks, the express tracks.
Oh, God.
Ran across the express tracks and got up. And I'm fine. All of a sudden, I hear behind me, help, help. I turn around. This very heavy set black woman tried to follow me. And she's stuck on the tracks and she can't get up because they're high. So I reach down and I help her and I bring her up. I save her life. And cops come running up. And they're like yelling at me. They go, you shouldn't have crossed. Or they're yelling at her. They're like, they saw me save her. They're like, you shouldn't have tried to cross the tracks. We're going to give you a ticket. And she goes, I was just following him. I'm like, you bitch. I just saved your life.
Yeah, I've got one of those stories at the New York Transit Authority. When I was, God, I must have been 12. I jumped one of those turnstiles. And, of course, standing right to the side was a cop.
Yep.
So the cop grabs me and takes my name, my address, gives me some little ticket or something like that. And I go on my way. And he said, we will be sending a copy of this ticket to your parents. So, you know, that was 12-year-old kid shitting in my pants. God damn it.
Right.
I'm really going to be in trouble. So I watched the mail every day for a month. And the letter came and I took it and I got it. And what it said was, this will drive you nuts. It said, Dear Mrs. Burke, Mr. and Mrs. Burke, your son was caught doing such and such. And we do believe he's on his way to juvenile delinquency. To prevent him from falling in with any more of the wrong people, here is a number if you wish to have him. I can't remember, you know.
Oh, my God.
This was for jumping a turnstile.
Wow.
This was back then, though, too. That I got to remember.
Oh, back then.
Yeah, that was like, you know, that's when the cops could kick you in the ass, and they did. And yeah. Nothing happened, you know, you just took it, you know, because if they kicked you in the ass, there was usually a reason for them to do that.
Right.
You were also going home.
Yeah. That's right. And that's when the cops walked the beat.
All right, next question. I don't think we have too many of these. We got to finish up, but one more question. Let's do one more question. Pick the best one, Susanna. Whatever you think the best one's going to be.
Oh, Susanna.
Is there a moment which defines your life?
Is there a moment which defines my life? I would say probably there are two, and that's the birth of my kids. You know, it's your whole life changes right there, as yep. Everybody knows. It's not a secret or something specific to me. When you have a kid, it's like the whole world is different.
Yep.
All of a sudden, everything is I don't want to say meaningless, but maybe of less value.
Yeah.
You know, as to getting home and, you know, being with your kids and stuff like that. And that's probably it. You know, I can't say anything too funny about that I can think of other than, you know, almost, well, I could go on with stories of things that have happened to me. You don't have enough time.
Right.
I've had so many subway incidents.
I think that's a profound way to end it. And I think Kevin and I both feel the same way. We both have kids.
I'm sure.
Yeah, it's the greatest thing that ever happened to me.
Well, thank you guys so much for really having me on. I appreciate it.
No, I definitely want to have you back, Eddie.
Just let me know.
I will.
Nowhere to go. I'm right here. Oh, thank you guys, and good luck with the show. I hope it really works out. It's really great. It's been a lot of fun.
I can't wait to have a drink with you again, Eddie.
Yeah, me too. Okay. Take care, right. Guys.
Good night, Eddie.
Thank you. Bye, Susanna.
All right, guys, that's been our show. Thank you so much for watching. Kevin is going to someday get control of that green screen. But for now, you guys have a good night. Tell all your friends, please subscribe. And if you want to donate, we're not making any money. So, you know, donate. All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Your screen.
Roll credits. We'll just sit here awkwardly while we're
waiting. That's okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
The slow dismount works.
So, I guess this is pillow talk now. Huh, nope. Kevin?
Thanks, guys. That was a great show.